Children can be dismissed to Children's Church at this time. And we're just going to take a little bit of a moment here to explain a little bit about our sermon today. Today is Soul Care Sunday, so on the fifth Sunday, whenever there's a fifth Sunday in the month, we set aside that Sunday to focus on our soul care theme for the year. And so this is the fifth Sunday in May, and so we're going to be looking at a sermon that has to do with our soul care theme for the year. And our soul care theme for 2026 is anxiety. We've had a few different sermons on anxiety. And I just want to kind of refresh our memory here as we look at this this topic of anxiety. Is that, first of all, anxiety, as we probably all know, anxiety is something that we are all familiar with in some way or another. If you pay any attention to the news or social media or anything like that, you also probably know that anxiety is a growing issue in the world. More and more people are struggling with anxiety. More and more people are being open about their struggles with anxiety. And so anxiety is a common issue in the world, but it's not new. Anxiety is not a new issue. The Bible has a lot to say about anxiety. God has a lot to say about anxiety because it's part of what it means to be human, to wrestle with anxiousness and cares and concerns. It has a lot to do with being human. So the Bible has a lot to say about what anxiety is and how we, as human beings who struggle with anxiety or who feel anxious, the Bible has a lot to say about how we should respond to the anxiousness that we feel. And so today we're going to be looking at a verse in the book of Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 12. And just as a kind of an overview of the book of Proverbs is one of the ways that God gives us words of wisdom for our lives. Words of wisdom for our lives. So if you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll see lots and lots of little proverbs that are gathered together, and they give us general wisdom for how we can understand life and what it means to live, or how to live rightly in the world that we live in. God's wisdom for life is shared to us in the book of Proverbs. And so the proverb that we're looking at today is Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verse 25. This proverb gives us wisdom about anxiety, wisdom from God about how to respond or understand or deal with anxiety. And we need to know, as we come to this verse, that there are good reasons to feel anxious. Not all anxiety is bad. We know this when we care deeply about someone or something, when we're concerned about someone that we love, when we are concerned about the well-being of someone that we love, this can be a good kind of anxious. And we know this because Paul describes himself as feeling anxious toward the well-being of other people. He writes about this in Philippians. He says he's anxious to hear and anxious about the well-being of the people in the church at Philippi. And so there's a type of anxiousness that is deep concern for other people. And that's good. The opposite of that would be indifference. That's not good. That's not healthy, to be indifferent, to be uncaring about important things in the world or about important people in the world. So it's good to have deep concerns and deep cares about people and the right things in the world. That type of anxiousness, if we can call it that, is a good type of concern. But there are also times when anxiety starts to take over, when our worry starts to get out of control. This is when the what-ifs or the unknowns start taking over our hearts. And that's the kind of anxiety that we're looking at today. The kind of anxiety or the kind of worry that starts to take over. And God knows that we'll experience this kind of anxiety, and that's why he gives us his wisdom here. And our verse today will help us know what to do when we are feeling this type of anxiousness. Clear instructions from God, clear wisdom from God on what to do when we feel this anxiousness gripping our hearts. And as we look at this verse, I want to encourage you that this verse will help us know or equip us to help other people as they are struggling with anxiety. So if you are someone who knows what it feels like when anxiety starts to take over and when worry starts to settle into your heart, this verse will give you instruction on what to do. And if you have ever had someone call you and say, "I'm feeling worried," this verse has instructions that you can also share with your friend. Wisdom from God that we can share with people who are looking for help. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 12. Just this one verse here, we're going to unpack this morning. Verse 25 says this: "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." This proverb is telling us that a good word removes the weight of anxiety. And the proverb here is talking about anxiety that's in the heart. So I want to just unpack what is the heart. We need to understand how the Bible speaks about the heart so that we can understand the anxiety that's taking place. So the heart in the Bible has to do with the very center of who someone is. That's your heart. So it includes your emotions, but it's more than your emotions. The heart includes your desires, your motives. It includes your will, your volition, the thoughts that you have. It includes your values. It includes your priorities. This is all, the Bible would include all of this in your heart when it talks about the heart, your hopes, your dreams. The heart is where we worship from. The heart is where the things live that we truly care about. The heart is where we hold the things that are most precious to us. And so we can learn a lot about ourselves from our hearts. And if that's where we hold the things that we care about, anxiety grips our hearts when we are worried about the things that we care about. When we are concerned about the things that we care about, anxiety starts to settle into our hearts. So, for example, when we aren't sure how things are going to go regarding something that means a lot to us, we can start to get anxious. When we aren't sure how someone's health is going to turn out or how a situation is going to turn out that means a lot to us, anxiety can start to settle into our hearts. We feel anxious, we feel worried when there are a lot of what ifs, when there are a lot of unknowns surrounding the things that we care most about. That's when we start to feel anxious. If we don't care about it, we aren't as anxious. If there's not a lot of unknowns, we're not as anxious. But when the unknowns or the what ifs start to surround the things that we care about, we feel anxious. And God tells us in this proverb that this anxiety in our hearts will weigh us down. When it starts to run out of control, again, these can be good concerns, but when the anxiety or the worry start to run out of control and they start to take over what we think about and we start to become obsessive over the what ifs and the unknowns, it becomes a weight on us. Starts to take over who we are. This anxiety can take over our thoughts, where we can't stop thinking. We can't stop worrying about the what ifs and the unknowns. This anxiety, as it takes over, has the power to not only take over our thoughts, but to take over and change our mood or our attitude, because it's settling in to our very being. And as this heaviness of anxiety grips our hearts, as it runs out of control, and as it takes control of our hearts, it's not healthy for us. This heaviness that we feel, this weight, the point of this proverb is that this weight that we feel from this anxiety that grips our hearts is not good. It's not healthy for us. It can impact things like how we eat, Maybe we've felt that before. We're anxious and we just lose our appetite. Or it can change how we sleep. We can have sleepless nights because of anxiety that's weighing on our hearts. This anxiety, as it takes control, this worry that's out of control can impact how we make decisions. We might become impulsive. We might become desperate. We might throw reason out the window because we're trying desperately to protect the things that we care about. We can maybe stop listening to what people have to say. We can become driven by the worry that's weighing on our hearts. And this can impact how we treat people. We might not be as kind or as gracious or as forgiving as we want to be when we're feeling the weight of anxiety pressing down on us. And this is a weight, brothers and sisters, we need to hear this from God. The reason God has this preserved for us in the book of Proverbs, that the reason he gives us this wisdom is because our God does not want us to live with this weight. He tells us in this proverb that this weight of anxiety can be removed with a good word. God says a good word makes us glad, lifts our spirits, encourages us. If we want to respond well to anxiety and to concern over the things that we care about, if we want to respond well, we need a good word. But the problem is when we are anxious, when our world is spinning, we easily lean too heavily on the wrong words. When we feel anxious, we tend to look for words that will offset the worry that we're feeling. In other words, when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling worried, we want some good news that will relieve the worry that I have in my heart. If we're trying to, here's some examples that I was thinking about where we might feel this worry. If we're trying to get into if you're a student who's graduating high school and you're trying to get into a certain college or you're trying to find a job or you're trying to find a career, you want the good news that you've been accepted. If we're feeling financial anxiety, we're feeling financial stress, we would welcome the good news that there's a good pay raise coming or a good bonus, some sort of good financial relief. We want the good news that my financial stress, my financial worry is being met. If you're a farmer and we need rain, you'd be thankful for a good weather report. Or if you're planning a wedding and you don't want rain, you'd be thankful for a weather report that meets what you want to happen, something that is important. Crops, a wedding, finances, jobs, these are important things. And these are areas where our worry and our anxiousness can run out of control, and we can start putting all of our weight on good news that meets our worry. If we're worried about the future of our children, or our grandchildren, or when someone that we love is going through a hard time, we want good news that things are going to turn out okay. If you're planning for retirement, or if you're in retirement, you want good news that you're going to be financially set, that the stock market is going to do okay, or that your retirement plans are going to come through. We want good news that meets our worry. If you're having health issues, we want the doctor to give us good news. We want the doctor to say, we know what's going on, we have the cure, and everything is going to be okay. That's what we want to hear, because that good word meets our worry right where we are. In these cases, if we hear the good news that we're looking for, those words of good news can actually help us not feel so anxious. They provide some relief because they take away the unknowns. They take away the what-ifs that we were worrying about. If someone could guarantee a weather report, if someone could guarantee financial stability, if someone could guarantee that you were going to get accepted or that your health was going to be fine, that would take away the unknown. This week, interestingly, as I was preparing this sermon on anxiety, the check engine light came on in our car. And for me, that can be a source, usually is a source of anxiety. Why is that? Well, because I don't know that much about working on cars. And I don't know how to diagnose a check engine light. I know I can take it somewhere, but I don't know how to check what that means. And in my mind, it's probably some really bad stuff. I also don't know how to fix the problem. Even if I could diagnose it, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how long the repair is going to take. I don't know how long I'm going to be without a car. I don't know how much the repair is going to cost. And immediately when I see the check engine light, my mind starts spinning with what ifs and unknowns. And if I'm not careful, it can change my attitude. It can change my perspective on life. And this is something small. I understand a check engine light should be something small in the grand scheme of things. But if I see a check engine light come on, I immediately start looking for good news. I need to hear some good news. I need a good word from the mechanic that it's not a big deal and everything's going to be okay. But what if the mechanic tells me that it is a big deal? Now, the good news that I desperately needed to hear to relieve my anxiety isn't there. What if we don't get the job that we want? What if we don't get into the college that we were looking for? What if we are feeling financial pressure and the pay raise doesn't come? The bonus isn't there. What if we lose our job when we're feeling financial stress? What if the rain doesn't come? Or this weekend, what if it does rain? What do we do with that? What if the good news doesn't show up? What if the doctor doesn't have the solution? What if the doctor can't pinpoint the issue? What if the doctor doesn't have a good report? What happens to the weight of our anxiety when the good news doesn't show up? On the other hand, maybe I'll say this first. What we see here is that the good news that we're looking for is not good enough. And even if the good news does show up, even if the mechanic does tell me, hey, you know what? Not a big deal. Easy fix. Get it taken care of. Everything's good. Which is what happened, by the way, with our car, which is amazing. But even if the good news does show up, what am I doing? Now I got my eyes glued to the check engine light in case it comes back on again because I don't know what to do with that. What if, even if the good news that we're looking for does give us relief, there is always something else on the car that can break? Even if the doctor says, yes, we can fix this, we can cure this issue, we can get this knocked out, everything's going to be okay, there's always the possibility, always the likelihood of another health issue down the road or whatever the concern is. This is the world that we live in, and we need to know that these words of good news that we look for to help us with our anxiety, they can be good, they can be helpful, they can provide temporary relief, and that's okay, but that's all that it is. It's temporary relief. The good news that we look for, the good words that we look for in this world to meet our worries can be good, but they're never good enough to remove the weight of anxiety that's in our hearts. Doesn't mean we shouldn't look at them, but we can't lean too heavily on them. If we want to truly remove the weight of the anxiety in our hearts, which is what God wants for us as his people, we need a good word that we can rely on and be encouraged by no matter what we are going through, no matter what happens. No matter what life circumstance we're involved in, we need a good word. We need something good, a good news or a good word that is always there for us no matter what happens. That's a tall order. But what we need is Jesus. Jesus is the perfect word of God given to us. Now, we might be thinking, I thought the Bible was God's word. And that's true. This is God's word. The Bible is the word of God written to us. And in the Bible, God has revealed himself to us through the written word. We have God's revelation to us of who he is, his character, his power, his attributes, his promises. God has revealed himself to us in writing in his word. So the Bible, yes, is God's word, and we lean on that. But at the same time, in John chapter 1, John describes Jesus as the word of God coming to us as a person. What does that mean? Jesus, as the word of God, is also revealing to us who God is, and Jesus is the key that helps us understand everything that the Bible says and what it means for us. Jesus is the key, the word of God in human form, who unlocks everything that the Bible says about God and what it means. Jesus shows us in human form who the God is who wrote the Bible, who breathed out the words of the Bible. And so when we see Jesus coming to us as a person, he is accomplishing what the word accomplishes. Jesus coming to us as a person is revealing to us in human form who God is in a very personal way. When we see Jesus coming to us as a person into our world, into our lives, and struggling and feeling the sin, the brokenness of sin, and the pain of this world, we can know, when we look at Jesus as the Word of God in human form, we can know that God is no stranger to the pressures and the anxieties that we feel. We can know that God sees us in our anxieties. God sees you in your worries. He sees you when you are so concerned about things that you care about. God knows what you're going through, and Jesus is the evidence that God personally cares for the concerns that we have and the anxieties that we feel. Jesus is the Word of God and proof to us. Jesus communicates to us as the Word that God is not willing to leave us in our anxieties to figure it out on our own. It's true, our life situations might not go the way that we want them to go. We might wish things would go a different direction. Maybe the financial thing doesn't turn out the way we want. Maybe we don't get the job we want. Maybe the health report isn't what we want. It's true. We don't have control over those things. That's why the anxiety creeps in. We might wish things would go a different direction. And there will always be unknowns and what ifs trying to take over our hearts. We have all of these things that can weigh on us. And Jesus shows us that in this kind of life, where there is all this uncertainty and things don't always go the way that we want, Jesus shows us as God in the flesh coming to us that we can fully and completely trust God. End of sentence. We can fully and completely trust God. We can trust his love for us. We can trust that he is sovereign over our lives with unlimited power. We can trust God's promise that he is always with us no matter what. No matter the news that we get in this life, our God is with us, and Jesus makes us sure of that. The truth is this: we will never get to the root of our anxiety that's in our hearts. We will never have that weight removed without Jesus, without looking to Jesus. We might find temporary relief, but we will never be able to deal with the root of the weight without Jesus. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God gives us the promise of hope that one day we will be free of this world and free of the anxieties that are tied to it. One day we will be with God, where all of the anxieties are gone. We have the promise of hope, and we have the promise of help. that even as we live out the rest of our days in this life, we never live out our days in this life alone, ever. Jesus shows us in human form that we can truly and completely trust God with our lives, no matter what you're facing, no matter what kind of situation you're in. This is the promise that God gives us, and Jesus is the proof that we can trust him. Jesus is God's word in the flesh. And Jesus shows us that we can trust God's word to remove the weight of our anxiety. Let's go back to that check engine light for a minute. Now, if I can keep this in my mind, which is, we'll talk about that in a minute, hard to do, easier said than done. But now, if I apply what God is teaching us in this proverb, when the check engine light comes on in my car, before I even call the mechanic, before I even start processing in my mind, can we afford this? What's this going to take? Before I even make a move to fix the situation, or when we're waiting to see if we got that job, when we're feeling anxious about our health or the future of our children or the thousands upon thousands of other things that bring worry into our hearts, before we make one move to try to fix our worry, we can look to God's word. When my check engine light comes on, I can look to Jesus. Sometimes we might think that those are two different categories of life, but when my check engine light comes on and I'm feeling that worry start to settle into my heart and trying to take control, I can look to Jesus. I can see Jesus living and dying for me, and I can trust that the God who rose Jesus from the dead can definitely handle a check engine light or whatever else might come onto my radar. I can trust God in that moment or in a season of worry. Even when I don't know how it's going to turn out, I can know that God is with me. The reason God speaks so much about anxiety in the Bible is because our hearts naturally gravitate toward the good news that people give. It's more accessible, it feels more tangible, it's something we can reach out to. The mechanic's good word to me is something that I can lean on. So our hearts will naturally gravitate in that direction. That's why I said it's easier said than done to apply this truth that God is teaching us. But through prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit, we can learn to trust God's word no matter what anxiety or worry we are struggling with. We can learn this. It can become part of our life. And we can learn to help others the same way. When someone reaches out to us for help, let's say someone calls you this week and they say, hey, I'm just feeling really worried about this job situation. You don't have to feel the pressure of sugarcoating the situation, because it might be really hard. They might not get the job. You don't have to feel the pressure of trying to be a savior to them. You can walk with them in their worry. You can encourage them that you're there for them, but you don't have to try to make it seem like everything's going to be okay, because you don't know that. What you can do, though, is embrace the opportunity and the privilege of pointing them to Jesus, who is with them whether they get the job or not. That's our privilege. We get to rest in that truth, and we get to share that truth with other people who are struggling with worry. And if we are spending time in prayer and the Holy Spirit's working in us, this can become a way of life for us. This can become our response to worry. I want to encourage you this morning. Think about the people in your life circle, the people that you do life with. And I want to encourage you with this. Take time to ask your friends, your family, the people in your circles, what is weighing on you? Bring those anxieties out. What's weighing on you? Simple question. What's on your heart? What worries, what anxieties are weighing you down? And then as they share, maybe you share some of yours, and then just help each other look to Jesus. Don't try to fix it. Don't have to offer advice. Don't have to sugarcoat it. Don't have to try to make things seem like they're going to be okay if they might not, but just simply take those anxieties, take those worries, and bring them to Jesus and encourage each other to believe and trust that God is with us. Pray that we could trust God's word as the ultimate source of peace. This can become a habit that eventually shapes our lives. So maybe when the check engine light comes on, my first thought isn't the mechanic, but Jesus. I love this quote from David Pollison. He says in his book on anxiety, he says, "This is God's aim for us. God wants us to know him so intimately and trust him so completely that our desire to fix our own troubles our own way will no longer consume us." That's a weight that's lifted when we are no longer consumed by our desire to fix our own troubles. And through faith in Christ, we can put all of our trust completely in God. And if you're here today and you haven't come to Jesus as your Savior, I want to talk to you for a moment. If you are not a Christian, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to know this, that Jesus invites you to come to him. He invites you to come and put your faith in him as your Savior, and in him, all of your sins will be forgiven. He will give you eternal life, and he promises to give you rest from your worry. You will not find true rest from your worry until you bring it to Jesus. And to everyone, I want to encourage you also, if you're struggling with anxiety and you don't know where to turn, or if you're wrestling but you don't have someone to reach out to, please, please reach out to us. I want to encourage you to reach out to the office or make sure you get a hold of an elder. Our contact information is in the bulletin, but I'm imploring you, if you are wrestling with anxiety, if you're feeling the weight of anxiety in your heart, please reach out for help. The church is here to walk with you. This is the purpose of the biblical counseling program, and this is really our Soul Care Sundays are part of the biblical counseling program that we've been developing over the past few years. And the whole purpose of this program, of the biblical counseling program here at LCC, is to help you find the relief that you need right here in your church family. And so we would ask you to come. God loves you, and we want to be able to come alongside you and walk with you through whatever weight of anxiety you might be feeling. Please let us know if you need help. We're here for you. We want to serve you in that way if it would be helpful. Let's pray. Lord, you know that we are anxious people. You also know that we are prone to try to fix our own worries. So many things probably run through our minds of the different weights of anxiety that we feel and how quickly we try to find good news to meet the worries that we're feeling. You know each one of us personally. And I'm just praying here this morning, Lord, that as we think about Proverbs 12:25, I'm praying that you would help us identify the worry that weighs us down. Maybe we're not even aware of it. Help us to identify where we are prone to worry. Help us to identify where anxiety can start to take control of our lives. And then help us to have the confidence and the humility to reach out for help. To have a friend come alongside us and ultimately give us the wisdom to not lean too heavily on the wrong words, but to lean completely on your word, Jesus Christ, as the ultimate source of good news. That no matter what happens in this life, through Christ we are made right with you. Through Christ our position with you is secure. There's nothing that can change that, and there's nothing that matters more than that. Lord, would that be the truth that settles our hearts and brings peace to our minds? Just pray that you would help us to be a people who know what to do with our anxiety and know how to help others when they worry. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.